I love the drive coming up. I was actually in the area at 9:20, but I was hungry. So I went looking in a place that I you know, normally go. I said, nah, just wait till I get up in the area, get something, bring it back to the speaker's lounge, kick back. I mean, why eat and drive when you could just sit and relax? Well, they were closed today. I pull up, I see newspapers out in front, and I'm like, no. They're not. No. I don't see any lights on in there. And I get out of the car, and I go, you know, it's amazing, you know, what you think. You think, oh, well, they just forgot to turn on the lights. Come on. Now, it's a deli. How they going to do business with no lights on? And sure enough, there was a sign on the door, closed New Year's Day. And I'm sitting, I'm like, I am not going to McDonald's. I'm not. So I wound up going to Dunkin' Donuts. reduced fat blueberry muffin. Yes. Okay. Really, it may have been reduced fat, but eating the muffin is just the same as eating a donut. So. But I enjoy the ride up. I don't think about, well, it's, you know, it's 95 minutes or it's, you know, whatever it is. I get the time, especially today, because Deacon Phyllis stayed in. You know, she's recovering nicely. She really is. And I really believe, you know, I thought yesterday that she was going to be here. But I woke up around 20 to 4. And I see her coming to bed because she was sleeping at all hours, so her sleep was off. But again, you know, undaunted, I'm going to sleep. So I'll just get up. She'll be up. At 7:15, my wife was sawing some wood. And I'm like, I'm not going to call her. I'm not going to do anything. She'll be there when I get home. And that's what you do. But see, even in those things, of course, the enemy tried to say, see, she always does. I'm like, what are you talking about? She always does. You know, I love her. I'm not keeping an account of anything. You know, no. As a matter of fact, thank you for reminding me. And I spent about 20 minutes just praying for her, you know, coming up and getting excited. And when I get back, we'll probably go here or there or whatever, even if we don't do anything. You know, but see, we have to guard against those little thoughts that come in.
Yes.
Because they come in so subtle, and it'll get you to start thinking. And you'll be going, yeah, that's right. And then he'll try and bring back all these other little things that you don't like.
Yeah.
Little things. You mean, he said to me, and this isn't a criticism, but it's just these little things that he tries to use. You know, everybody has their own little idiosyncrasies, all right? You know, I mean, it's like, you know, it seems that men have a bad rap for leaving the toilet seat up, you know? And I'm like, hey, just put it down. I mean, what's this? You know, but just different things. You know, with me, I'm like, okay, I'll load the dishwasher and start it. Okay. So when it ends, just put the dishes away instead of putting them in the sink. And that, because I do 99.9% of the cooking. You know, so if I come to cook and the dishes in the sink, now I got to clean the sink out and then start. And the enemy will come. See, this always happened. I'm like, shut up. You know, really, that's what I do. And I say, as a matter of fact, you know, because you said something, now instead of calling and saying, honey, dinner's ready, I'm putting on the plate, putting it on the tray, and taking it to her. You know, now take that and do something with that. You know, because if not, one of the things that we cannot recover, folks, is time.
Yes.
We can't.
Yes, sir.
I mean, look at the person that you came with. Just turn and look at them. Okay? Now you have to ask yourself, what's worth you losing time spent with them, you know, in comfort? You know, in enjoyment, in love. You need to think about that. Yes, you know, you may eventually make up, and all that's fine, but how much time did you lose in between? You know, and you just have to, it's just not worth it. When you think about it, it's not worth it. So what if they take the garbage bag out of the garbage can and don't put a new bag in? And you find out by going and take something going, ah, man, okay. What difference does it make? Right? You clean it out. And you just go on about it. And I don't go and say, why do you always do this? I don't say that. I'm telling you, folks, confessing John 3:16, and for me, reading Ephesians 5 in the Message Bible just changed my attitude altogether. Just changed it. You know, when we talk about Christ's love, let me read this. Yeah, it's a new year, same Pastor Greg. Christmas Eve at midnight, I performed the marriage renewal ceremony for our aunt. It was his aunt. They've married 35 years. She's 87 and he's 89. And when they said to me at midnight, I'm like, oh, okay. Then I start saying, hey, wait a minute. Midnight when? You know, so I called her and I said, Aunt Dees, now, when is this ceremony? She said, midnight. I said, okay, but is that midnight between the 23rd and the 24th? Oh, no, Christmas Eve, midnight. When we say I do, it's going to be Christmas Day. And I'm like, I got to minister at 10:30 Christmas Day. But here, Ephesians 5, verses 21 to 23 in the Message Bible. And see, and while this is talking about husbands and wives, you know, we need to start considering it in any relationship. Husband, wife, friend, fiance, parent, child. It says, out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent one to another. Doesn't say respect them if they give respect. You want respect? You got to earn my respect. No. Out of your respect for Christ, be courteously reverent one to another. Wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. Now, you wouldn't go up to Christ's face and say, you never put down the toilet seat. Ways that show your support for Christ. The husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church, not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. See, to me that word exactly means something, okay? A love marked by giving, not getting. And the next few words, I mean, it literally, permanently changed my life. Christ's love makes the church whole. And I'm to love my wife exactly the same. So the way I love my wife, the way I love you, the way I love anyone should always make them feel whole. Amen. Never broken. His words, Christ's words, evoke her beauty. And I'm like, oh man. I'm serious. I'm being honest. Well, I'm always honest with you. But it's like, they're words that I can't even let come out of my mouth because I already know those words are not designed to make her feel beautiful. I already know it. So why let them come out if I'm loving exactly the way Christ loves the church? Everything he does and says is designed to bring out the best of her. Dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor since they're already one in marriage. No one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church, since we are a part of his body. And this is why a man leaves father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one flesh. This is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it all, but what is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the church, and this provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself and loving her, and how each wife is to honor her husband. See, folks, if we as the church just get those scriptures down, it would revolutionize the world. Revolution, because when you have that kind of love, there ain't no need for a prenuptial agreement. As a matter of fact, this is your prenuptial agreement. You're agreeing this is the way you're going to treat each other. Yes. And you don't do this with words. This prenuptial agreement can only be done in action. Only. So let's go to John 3:16 with that in mind. Because if we want to, if we just have to commit to something, which we don't, it ought to be that we start loving one another the same way Jesus Christ loves us as the church. I'm going to read 16 and 17. You can read along with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And move forward, please, to John 13, because I believe I'm to start including this. So I'm going to read verse 34 and 35, but I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible, because the Amplified Bible says something a little different, but the impact it'll have. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. See, we sometimes treat love one another as an individual act. Well, I love them last year. You know, no, the Amplified Bible says, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. Among yourselves. That means we have to stop referring to folks as, you know, those so-called Christians. We have to stop saying, well, they said that they're born again. Because when we say it that way, what are we really saying? Right. We're making a judgment. We're saying, yeah, they said it, but everybody knows that they're not. Well, the minute you make that statement, you should already know you're erroneous, because you don't even know. You know, were you with them in their private time when they said, I'm going to say that I'm a Christian, but really, I'm not? Okay. No. They did something that we thought, that we believed wouldn't be done if they were a Christian. Well, one quick, honest look in the mirror would make us put ourselves in that same category. We start looking at everything that we've done, you know, since we have said that we are a Christian, but we have to start showing love one to another. Now, you know, I told you the title of this was you know, New Year, Same God. And that's why God gave us those songs, you know, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I was sitting down, you know, as I always do last night, and I was just, you know, I look at the scriptures that God had dropped in. First thing I always seem to wind up doing is repenting, because it seems that the minute I open my eyes, he started giving me something. And I keep saying, I'm going to put a notebook and a pen right by my night table so I can just reach over and grab it. And it's like I put it there, but then I get up and do things, and I don't put it back. Okay. It's like, okay, I'll remember when I get downstairs. I'll remember. And I get down there, I'm like, Lord, tell me it again, please, once more. I'll put the book back, Lord. I'll put it back. But he said to me, he told me to ask you this question. So Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What's yesterday? He told me to ask you, what's yesterday? Yeah, yesterday was. So the key word is was. So what does that mean about yesterday? It's in the past. So Jesus Christ is the same past, what's today? Present, what's forever? Future. Okay. Jesus, now you need to think about it. How was Jesus in the past? I mean, we need to think about it. And understand that the way he was is the way he is. Look at Hebrews 13. And I'm gonna ask you to tell me the definition of another word. Yeah, you come. Oh, I'm up here. You come into class. Wait a minute. Okay, 13. Why don't you read verse 8 aloud when you get there? Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? What do you think same means? Unchanged. That's true. It means that. Anything else? Anyone else? Constant. That's good. All right. Well, reliable. Yep. That's good. And what is he looking for? What is he looking for? When I looked that word up in the concordance, same meant himself or themselves. And I started thinking about it. I said, wow, that verse says Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ. I mean, that's just what it is. You don't have to think about it. Well, he doesn't change. He's who he is. I mean, like Popeye, I am what I am, and that's all that I am. Okay? He is Jesus Christ, will always be Jesus Christ. So everything associated with him being Jesus Christ is always there. It doesn't go away. It does. See, change implies that something was either not perfect or too perfect. I mean, that's... Something has to happen because the way it is not sufficient. So a change is necessary. How can we think that about God? How can we think that about Jesus Christ? What is it about God that needs to change? What is it? We need to, you know, I was looking up Malachi 3 when God said, you know, I am God and I change not. Therefore, the sons of Jacob will not be consumed, even though they deserved to be consumed. And so what was he talking about? Well, I started looking at some different accounts, some different commentaries. I'm just going to take a moment and just read from some of these commentaries. And yeah, I did go to a slimmer, smaller notebook. I found out that I could print, just run this paper through the printer. I'm like, hey, that's why I used the big one. I said, well, I'm not going to write all these little things down. So, and there's a very, very good reason why I don't, because when I write, it looks like this. And as I'm reading, I'm like, Lord, give me a translation. Give me a translation. Okay. But in the Gills exposition of the entire Bible commentary. Okay. Said, I change not. Being the same today, yesterday, and forever, he changed not in his divine nature and personality by becoming man. And I thought about that. I said, well, now wait a minute now. The same personality that Jesus had before he was wrapped in flesh and born of Mary, he has now. The same personality. I mean, you think about that. But not only the same personality, same ability.
Yes.
And we don't think about it like that. It says in John 1, and we're going to go there in a little bit, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus Christ past was with God. Jesus Christ past was God. All things were created by him. All things. So that means he had to have creative power then. Guess what he still has? Creative power. Now. We need to start thinking about that and get rid of that mindset, you know, that some folks have, that things, you know, went away with the apostles. You know, no. Jesus Christ, the same, past, present, future. And that's great because we live in the present and we believe we have a future. And the only thing that will get us through our present into and through our future is our relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we don't understand how he is, how are we going to make it? If we start thinking that he won't or he can't, then we'll go back to black eyed peas and greens and all that other stuff, because that's all we'll have. We'll have to go back to those paganistic traditions. But he didn't change his divine nature and personality by becoming man. He took into that union with him everything he had before. He remained the same. He remained the same. The Clark's commentary, it says that, when it says, therefore are the sons of Jacob not consumed? It said they're not being daily consumed is a sign that he still defends them and that his mercy toward them never changed. He defended then. He defends now. Now think about it. What's the difference, or is there a difference, between God parting the Red Sea to allow his people to escape, or causing a very, very specific earthquake that only affects the prison in the town, doesn't destroy the prison, just opens all the doors and makes the shackles fall off the prisoners? What's the difference? None. What's the difference between providing manna for millions of people or loaves and fish for thousands of people? There's no difference. It requires the same energy, the same work. And just like God did it then,
yes,
he'll do it now.
Yes.
So what are we getting upset about? Because we don't think that we have what we need to eat. Or is it really because we're like the Israelites and we just don't want to eat manna? We don't want manna, we want filet mignon. Okay. I mean, what did God said he would provide for our every need.
Yes.
Your body needs nourishment. We're concerned about how that nourishment tastes. He didn't say it's going to taste good. He said taste and see that he's good. All right, that's what he said. And so if he just provides you manna, give thanks.
Yes.
And eat it. And do it. I've said this before. It's what I tell the children, you know, because when they go away to college, they always complain about the cafeteria food. And they say, well, it's not home cooking. Well, it's not supposed to be home cooking. All right? It's cafeteria food. It's designed to keep you going,
yes,
until you get back home. I mean, that's what it is. The folks that go away and say, have you gone to church? No, why not? I can't find a church like RLCC. I want to go, what's the matter with you? Okay. No, it's not RLCC. So what? But it's a church that's teaching you the word. It will keep you sustained,
yes,
while you're out there, and then you get back to RLCC if that's what God wants you to do.
Amen. Yes.
But wherever he sends you, you're going to get what you need. That's always been his MO, and it has not changed. See, people change. They do.
Yes.
It's, I love you this moment, and then, well, I used to love you. Okay. Like, what happened? Well, I need my space. Okay. What are you talking about? You need your space. You know. But I thought, no, well, you know, things are getting too serious.
Yeah.
You know, I think we should see other people. I'm like, but wasn't this last night when we were sitting down talking? I mean, we made our plan. Well, things change. You just need to understand things change. We'll always be friends. Like, no, we won't. No. Why can't we be? Well, a friend should be someone that I can trust and rely on.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And this has already been a demonstration that there ain't no trust here. So, no, we can't be friends. But people change on you. Conditions change.
Yes.
They change. I mean, it's nice. You know, what amazes me is I hear the weather reporters, and I hear when they interview people talking about, you know, first it was unseasonably cold in the summer. And they were complaining. It's summer. We want heat. Now they're saying it's unseasonably hot. Like, when's it going to be cold? People change.
Yes.
Yet townships are saving millions of dollars because they don't have to move any snow. But folks, they're upset. This is supposed to be the winter. Well, it is the winter. You know, but it doesn't have to be 0 degrees in order to prove it's winter.
Yeah.
You know, but conditions change. Seasons change. Circumstances change.
Yes.
And you can't really plan effectively because you don't know if it's an outdoor activity. You don't know if it's going to rain or what. Jesus doesn't change.
No.
God never changes. You can depend on him. He'll tell you to schedule an activity for outdoors, and he knows it's going to rain. And so that's why when we schedule, we don't think about it. If he says, have something on this date, guess what? Have it on that date. What if it rains? What if it rains? You know, I say when the rains start dancing, your wells are being filled.
That's right.
The reservoirs are being filled.
Yes.
We seem to forget that there's a reason for the rain.
Yeah.
And I used to tell folks, look, if you're wondering why we've had these brutal winters with all these, you know, 80, 90 inches of snow. You've been praying away to rain all summer. How's God going to get water here? So it's like, okay, you don't want the rain? Okay, the reservoirs need to be filled? Snow. When it melts, fine, you'll have your water. Just take the rains if it comes. Thank you, God. It's a gift. It's a gift.
Yes.
You know. So what about when it floods? What about it? What do we do? Do we act like Jesus Christ is the same when they start talking about floods? No, we don't. Because, like I said, what's the difference? He parts the Red Sea or he calms the sea? The sea still had to obey him. So how many folks really, well, don't raise your hand, but just think about it. You hear that you know, there's a flood watch and you go to the river and you stretch your hands out toward it, and you command it not to rise to flood level. I mean, we don't, but yet we have authority here in the earth that God gave us.
Yes, yes.
All power in heaven and earth is given unto me. You go.
Yes.
Why? Because I'm backing you up. So if he's backing us up, you know what that means? All the power he has is available to us.
Yes.
If we step out and go. But if we really believe that he's the same, that he hasn't changed, we'll act like it. And we'll start doing the things that he's done because he, and it's okay to do that. You say, well, I shouldn't put myself, you know, on the same level as God. Let's look at Philippians 2. Beginning at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. Now let's look at that for a moment. Genesis 1:26 says that we were created in the image and likeness of the Godhead. And you say, well, no, it says God. Well, the reason I say Godhead is because God said, let us. So who is he talking to? Or he didn't refer to himself as us. He said, let us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Let us make man in our image. So that means the qualities of the Holy Ghost, the qualities of God the Father, the qualities of God the Son, the qualities of God the Holy Ghost, it's in us. Because we're made in his image and in his likeness. So you could say we were made in his form. So Jesus Christ, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to what? What does it say? Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was like, there isn't anything more. I'm made in his image after his likeness. I might as well do what he does. And he didn't have a problem with it. So why do we? And why do we allow people to stop us by saying, you think you're God? Well, let's think about that for a moment. The stories of how, you know, mommy used to take care of me is just unprecedented. And I have any problems relating to her. None. Because she knew how to take care of me. Okay. When I walked up and down the streets, they didn't see me. They saw Miss Ruby's son. And I was fine with that. I really was. As long as I, but see, he was the key. I had to go where she sent me. I had to stay where I was supposed to be. If I ventured out, they hadn't heard of her. Okay. So I was safe as long as I stayed where I was supposed to stay. So, yeah, God's my father. So I have a right to identify with God. Period. I have a right to go around like I'm God. I mean, just like, doesn't your son have a right to go around just like he's you? I mean, whether they have rights or not, he does it, right? but that's what it, because he's a little you. I mean, that's what it is. And anything that happens, you back up. I mean, that's what it is. And so we have the right to walk around as God. You think you're God? No, I know it. Hey, look at me. That's blasphemy. No, that's honesty. Okay. That's scriptural. I'm in Christ. Christ is in him, so I'm in him. So if I'm in him, guess what? I am him. All right?
Yes.
And if you don't believe it, keep going down this road and you'll find out. But see, we can't get upset. We can't stop because other folks don't understand who we are. And that's one of the things that's been hindering our progress as the church. We've been allowing, and in most cases, non-Christians to define who we are and what we should or shouldn't be doing. Now, let's think about this. You know, we just came to the end of the, you know, what has now become the holiday season. And it's to the point now you walk down the street and believers won't even say Merry Christmas. They'll look at you and say, Happy Holidays. I'm like, what is that? You know, what is that? No, I don't celebrate Hanukkah. I don't celebrate Kwanzaa. I celebrate Christmas. I recognize Christmas as a day, as a believer, I celebrate my Savior's birth. I know he wasn't born on December 25th, but that's the day we choose to celebrate it.
Yes.
Now, how would you like it if someone, if you know, on your birthday, say, hey, Happy Holidays. Okay. Or but it wouldn't even say your name. Okay? I mean, hey, Merry X Day. Happy X Day. You know what? But we'll say these things. We'll say, oh, no, I can't say this at work. Excuse me? I mean, last time I checked, the First Amendment didn't say you have these rights unless you're a Christian. And we forget that we have these legally, I have just as much right to say Merry Christmas as you do to say Happy Holidays. And we won't come up and say, hey, wait a minute, Wait, hold it. You coming to me and saying happy holiday offends me. Okay? I find that offensive. It's not happy holiday, it's Merry Christmas. You're denying me my faith. We don't say that. We just comply. We erroneously train, you know, our children. Oh, you can't mention God or Jesus in school. Yes, they can. The teachers can't. And let me tell you something, folks. That's a good thing. It is. Because when we say we want prayer in schools, what kind of prayer do we want? We want Christian prayer in the schools. But if the government says, yes, prayer is permitted in the school, then your child is now subject to the faith of whomever that teacher is.
Yeah.
Okay? But we don't think about that. And well, the problem in school is that there's no prayer. No, the problem in school is that there ain't no prayer home. The problem in school is that the children aren't being trained in the way they should go home. That's the problem. If prayer was happening home the way it should, then the children would be responding in kind wherever they go. You wouldn't have all of this stuff. But if we don't believe that Jesus Christ is the same, if we believe that God changes, we won't do those things. We have to understand, he doesn't change. Jesus Christ is the same. God is God, always will be God. Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ and always will be Jesus Christ. And because of that, we can do everything that they told us that we can do. I mean, did they tell Jesus not to, did they tell the disciples in the early church, don't teach in this name? Did they threaten them? All right. Did they listen?
No.
Why not? Why not? Well, let's go there and let's see why not. This isn't anywhere in my notes again. See what you guys always do this. And I say that out of love. It's not a criticism when I say always. That's a good thing. You always pull this stuff out of me. Acts 3, I believe it is. Or Acts 2, wait a minute. If you find it before I do, Richard, we can only see, do the things that we've seen. And yep. Mm-hmm. Well, again, first of all, when they healed, when the guy was healed at the Gate Beautiful, and the people were upset about that. Okay, can you imagine being upset because someone was set free? I can't understand that. Here's someone that's lying there. If anything, you should be happy he's not going to be there begging anymore. You know, but they're very upset now because this man got healed. And they wanted to know, by what name, by what power? And some will say, hey, I just spoke the words. And nope. Look what Peter said. Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man by what means he is made whole, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, excuse me, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole. I mean, dropping down, verse 15. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. These are the religious leaders, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them, and is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it." They can't deny that they worked a miracle on this man's behalf. But that it spread no further among the people. And that's what we need to realize that the enemy's trying to do, folks. It's okay if we get together in this little group and talk about the goodness of God. It's okay if we have signs and wonders happening in this little group during the service, but that it spread no further. They'll put threatenings out there. Just like it said here, let us strictly threaten them that they speak hereafter to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And it says, so when they had further threatened them, and I'm like, what's the difference between strictly threatening and further threatening? No. But whatever it was, that's what they did. And then they let them go. And what I found amazing, see, if that happened today, folks would get out and they'd send out emails and things. God, we need to pray. We need to pray. Let them get, remove these leaders, in office because they're preventing us from doing what God said. And no, they're not. The only thing preventing us from doing what God told us to do is us. Because what did they do? They got together and they prayed. They didn't pray for anything to happen to the leadership during that time. Look what they prayed. Verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. So after they were further threatened, they just said, all right, Father, you heard their threats. But you know what we want? We want even more boldness. We want people to be healed, and we want signs and wonders to be done in Jesus' name. Why? Because they believed that Jesus is the same. Everything that he did before the cross is being done after the cross through them. They believed what he said because he said, you go and you teach all nations. He didn't say do it if they receive you. He said go and do it. He said signs and wonders will follow the teaching in his name. So we should go out expecting signs and wonders to come to confirm the word. Yes, there may be some folks out there who use the signs and wonders to lift themselves up. Don't let that dissuade you or think badly about them. Just pray for them that they'll hear the truth. Signs and wonders have come to just confirm that God is. God is what? He's the same. That Jesus is the same. Never changed. Still doing the same thing that they started out doing. Let's think about this. God created the earth. Did he create the earth without form and void? No, he didn't. It said the earth became. Well, what happened? Well, when Satan fell, it put the earth into darkness. And God, think about this. We don't know how many millions or billions of years the earth was in darkness. We don't know. What we do know is when God decided it was time for restoration, he said, light be. And my thing was, who was he talking to? Because whatever power that was keeping the earth in that state, when he said, light be, had to let it go. And it's no different today. It's no different today. Whatever's coming to oppress, when God's people under his direction rise up and say, light be, whatever that power, oppressive power is, has to let go. Yes. Yes. But we have to believe that Jesus Christ is the same. Yes. And that it'll happen the same way it happened in Genesis. The same. That's what God is expecting in all these neighborhoods. He's expecting a Genesis type experience in these neighborhoods. And we expect it to happen overnight. Well, God didn't recreate the earth overnight. It took him 6 days. Or so if it take him, now he's God. And if it takes him 6 days, you know, can we at least wait 6 days? You know, for something? I mean, we get so anxious, it doesn't happen in 6 seconds. You know, it's, oh, this doesn't work. You know, no. And God only said it once. A force had kept the earth in darkness for we don't know how many years, and God only had to speak once. He didn't come back and said, now, didn't I say light be? Light, what's the matter with you? I said be. Light, if you don't be, I mean, he spoke it and went on to the next thing.
Yes.
Why? Because he knew what he said was happening. Do we have that confidence in what we say, especially and primarily because what we say was directed by God, via the Holy Ghost? Or do we not believe he does that anymore? See, that's our dilemma as people. We don't believe, for whatever reason, that everything that God did then, he's doing now through us. We think, no, God did that all by himself. No, he didn't. It says in John, all things are created by the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus Christ. So now God has another word, us. Why do you say, how can you say that? We're word containers. All right? If you ask for milk, does someone come to you and they have milk poured in their hands and they say, here's your milk? What do they bring? Here's a container. What's in the container? Milk. It's no different. God, I need my word to go forth in this area. Brother Joe, I want you to go. Well, you said you need your word. Right, go. No, but you said you'll send your word. Right, yeah, you go. I mean, that's what it is. We have to understand that. It's no different. No different then than it is. Then the container was Jesus Christ. Now the container is us. Why us? We're in Christ. That's why. So when we show up, circumstances see God. They don't see us. They see our Father. And that's fine. That's why I told you at time the natural, when I was living in Far Rockaway and I was in the park playing basketball and, you know, my sons, they were just playing with some other friends. And there was this group of boys that thought it would be nice to have a rock fight, and they throwing rocks, and I went over to them. I walked and said, look, guys, look, if you want to throw rocks at each other, that's fine. Do it out in the baseball field where no one's out there but yourselves. You want to bash your heads in and go right ahead, but don't do it here. One little boy cursed at me. I just smiled and said, I'm going to go get my dad. I said, okay. So you see that car over there? I'm going to be waiting right there. And I went and I sat on the car and just waited for him. And he went, sure enough, he lived about a half a block or so away. I saw him. And he came out and I saw him coming and he's saying things to his dad. And his dad is pounding his fist and moving his hand, saying all these things. And I'm sitting on the fender of my car. I'm just sitting there, just watching him like this. When I got to about to the end of this row here, I just did this. Guy smacked his son in the head, turned around, and went back home. I went back into and continued the game. You know, I mean, that's what it is. And God's the same way. When we start acting like we're his children, we just have to step up. That's all. Just step up and like, hey, here I am. And let him do what he always has done. Take care of his people. I mean, that's the thing. That hasn't changed. I'm telling you, the only thing that changed is the date. That's it. For Father has not changed. Where were we? I said we'd go to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah 9. I say this to you all the time, yet I keep doing it. is I will stay up and I will hear and prepare and, you know, make a list and do all of those things. And then I stand up before you and he says, oh, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I was like, all right, Lord, why do I have to study? He said, because that's for you. I'm like, okay, just asking. He's like, I know you don't want to just sit down and watch the game. And I'm like, well, maybe if they were playing better. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us, I need to preface this for you. In Genesis, when God made man, and man was sinless. Man was sinless. Yet he sinned. Didn't have the sin nature. And I personally believe the sin nature is overrated. I do. I really do. Because a lot of folks have said to me, well, you know, it's not a fair comparison. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, we shouldn't be compared to Jesus because Jesus didn't have the sin nature and we do. So therefore, because he didn't have the sin nature, he couldn't sin. And I said, really? Well, let's think about this. Lucifer wasn't created with the sin nature. Did he sin? Adam wasn't created with the sin nature. So did he sin? Yes. I mean, all the sin nature does is it just puts a point where you feel compelled that I have to do this. It doesn't take away your choice. And God always wanted us to have a choice. So yes, when Adam sinned, now the sin nature came into man. And so what's in you, once you reproduce, it's in that you reproduce. So if the sin nature is now in man, and then man's offspring has the sin nature. And so for God to have to send someone as a savior with the sin nature wouldn't have been fair to us. He needed to have someone that was exactly like the person originally created before he sinned. So he needed another being without the sin nature. So he knew he didn't have the sin nature. So he said, okay, I'll wrap myself in flesh. I'll come as the Son. But see, what we fail to understand is that Jesus was still capable of sinning. He chose not to. Just because you have the sin nature doesn't mean you can't sin. You can choose to sin. And so God said, I have to have someone who has the capability of sinning, but who will choose not to sin. And the reason that's important, because it tells us in Romans that the wages of sin is death. You know, and we talk about minimum wage. Every time I read that verse, I think about it. And, you know, sin pays. The minimum wage it pays is death. The maximum wage is death. So if God chose someone that he already knew would sin, they would have to suffer death. That wouldn't help us. So when he said the seed of the woman will break the lordship of the root, he was talking about the virgin birth because women don't carry the seed. The male carries the seed. So how could there be the seed of the woman? Well, she would have to become pregnant without a male having anything to do with it. Hence the virgin birth. See, when Adam sinned, holiness left. And that's the problem with things on this planet today. It's not the result of sin. It's the absence of holiness. When sin came, God's glory left. See, what used to happen is that one of the reasons why Adam was able to exercise dominion is because he was clothed with the glory of God. So when anything saw him, guess what they saw? God.
Yes.
When Adam looked at Eve and Eve looked at Adam, they didn't see each other. They saw the glory of God. But the minute they sinned, the glory of God left. And the first thing they noticed about each other was that they were naked and they needed to be covered. Now think about that. I mean, even that's become perverted, because now it's someone naked and you say, oh yeah, I want to look at this. But then they look like, oh no, they're naked. We got to put some clothes on. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, that's what it was. And I start thinking about it and I said, even the animals. You said, then what did all this stuff come with all these dangerous animals? They weren't created that way. But when the animals looked at Adam and Eve, I believe they saw the glory of God. Now that's gone. And what do the animals see? A stranger. Someone they didn't understand, didn't recognize, acting strangely, not walking through their midst like they're in authority, but now hiding. Hiding. And immediately the animals are like, they're hiding. They must be food. Okay. You know. So we think about all this happened because of the absence of holiness. That's why God couldn't just say, you know what? I just love them. I'll just forgive them. That's that. He couldn't, because they were no longer righteous. They were no longer holy. They were filled with sin and deception. And sin and deception cannot stand before a holy God. So God needed a means to get us back to being holy and righteousness and sin free. So he figured, let me send Jesus.
Yes.
So now we get to Isaiah. Take a fast track journey to Isaiah 9. Okay. In verse 6, he said, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You know, think about it. Do people refer to you in any of those terms? Okay. But we're like him. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Does our peace have no end? Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The energy, the tenacity of the Lord of hosts will make sure this thing happens. Folks, that has not changed either. The same Lord of hosts will make sure you accomplish everything that God wants you to accomplish if you let him. What do you mean if I let him? Well, if you get you out of the way. Because God does not impose his will on us. God will always say, all right, go ahead. When you need me, I'm here. He made a way. What way? 1 John 1:9. Confess your sins. I'll be faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Because if he doesn't cleanse us from all unrighteousness, we're no longer fit to stand before him. So God wants us to be righteous. So he wrapped himself in flesh and came, because he was the only one. That's what the angel told Mary. You shall bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He'll save God's people from their sins. So that means, when we think about that, now wait a minute. So Jesus was sent here to save. Well, that's still his responsibility to save. What's the difference? He now does it through us. How? By being in us. But it's still through him that all men are saved. How are they going to know that? By watching how we function here in this earth. By seeing us live above the circumstances. See, we want to be eliminated from the circumstances. Well, that doesn't help people. It may feel good to us, but it doesn't help people. People need to see us going through the same things that are stopping them. That's what it is. And then they'll wonder, well, how come you guys can do this? What is it? You don't seem to be affected by this. Say, well, I'm not. Why? Well, I understand that my God shall supply all my need. I don't know what that means. Well, let me break it down to you. And again, not from a position of hierarchy, but shoulder to shoulder. Just sharing with them. Look, this is, yes, this stuff used to affect me. I was no different than anyone else. And then I found something out. What did you find out? That God hasn't changed. That Jesus Christ is the same. Everything that he did before, he's still doing now, and he will continue to do. And all I had to do was receive him. I had to do just what God said. I had to get saved and then come into knowledge of the truth. And I like to say come into a working knowledge of the truth. Because head knowledge is not just enough. And the example that I use to illustrate that, and you know, someone said, well, you always use natural examples. Well, we live in a natural world. And Jesus used parables. What a parable. They were natural examples. Okay, when you want to get a driver, how many of you have a driver's license? Okay. How many of you went to the Department of Motor Vehicles and you said, hey, I know how to drive a car. I want a license. And they said, okay, here's your license. Okay. No, first they wanted to make sure you had head knowledge of the rules and how to operate a motor vehicle. And then you said, hey, okay, I got 100 on this test. Give me my license. And, no, not so fast, buddy. Now we want to see if you have a working knowledge of these rules. So they put you behind the wheel of a car and observe you. And if they don't see that you have a working knowledge of their manual, they won't issue you a license. Well, guess what, folks? If the world doesn't see that we have a working knowledge of our manual, they're not going to give us a license. A license of what? To talk to them, to share with them. They're not going to want to hear it. Because if this word were true, if God hasn't changed, if Jesus Christ is still the same, why are you living like this? And you say you believe. That's why God wants his people to thrive. We're looking to survive. He wants us to thrive. And the difference between survival and thriving is just our knowledge, our working knowledge of the word. Because if we have a working knowledge of the word, we'll understand better who we are. And once we understand who we are, we'll know how we're to respond and how we're to act. We'll understand what we can do. I had to learn the benefits of being this Ruby son. I had to learn them. I had to learn how to operate within them. Because if I didn't, it didn't turn out good for me. And I found that even though she loved me, even though that she would die protecting me, if I didn't listen, you know, I'd feel like I was dying. I mean, that's what it was. But she would always allow an opportunity for me to be restored because she loved me. God loves us. But he needs us to operate according to his set of guidelines, and they're very specific. We have to stop treating God like there are no boundaries. There are boundaries. The Bible says straight and narrow is the road. Why do we get... It's several years ago, I was teaching chapel at Love Christian Academy, and God gave me a chapel lesson, and he called it microwave popcorn. And it's going to make me hungry because all I had was that muffin that... That lasts about 25 minutes and you burn all that up, you know. But he shared with me, you know, about how, well, let me ask you this question. How many of you, before you make microwave, how many of you make microwave popcorn, first of all? Right? How many of you read the directions? Okay. You just take it and just, okay. But there's some very specific directions. Very specific. One thing that it says that I don't think anybody complies with says, do not leave the popcorn unattended. We set the timer and we go. It says you have to listen until the popping slows down to 2 to 3 pops a second. Then you turn off the oven and you take it out. It tells you how to open the bag. It says, open it facing away from you. That's what it says. We open. Ah! But it tells you that in the directions. But it says, either in this one particular brand, the next to the last direction said, do not attempt to repop any unpopped kernels. Okay. And God was so demonstrative in it because I told him, I said, well, for one thing, God said, we have to have ear to his word. We have to listen. He'll tell us when to stop. He'll tell us when to go. But if we're not listening attentively, if we're leaving his word unattended, we don't know where we are in the process. It says, open the bag away from you. Well, sometimes what comes out of people may hurt you. But if you approach it the way God says, when it comes out, it won't affect you. And then when it got down to one who said, well, do not attempt to repop any unpopped kernels. Because when it got to that one, God was silent. I'm like, God, what about this? What's the big deal? Why can't we repop them? He said, for whatever reason, they're not for you. And I said, whoa, I didn't think about it. And the last instruction on this particular brand was enjoy. It was the last instruction. And that's what God said. He said, instead of complaining about what didn't pop, and you have 3 quarts of just enjoy, okay? I mean just from microwave popcorn. So, and that's why he needs us to attend to his word. He's going to give us very, very specific instructions for our benefit. We start looking and we say, Lord, why can't I have a new car? Why aren't you enjoying the one that I provided? I mean, that's what it is. Lord, I want a new house. Why? You have a home. Yeah, but you know, I want 5 bedrooms, but there are only 2 of you. And then we lie. I can have Bible study. If I had more room. Like, okay, how many people? Well, I can only fit 3 or 4 in there. Well, how come I don't see them here? Okay. You know, so we start get too busy looking at what we don't have, forgetting that God is the same. Yes. He's going to meet a need. Okay? He's not obligated to meet a want. He said, I would supply your every need. Every need. And if he tells you to start believing for something, more people get into trouble. Because if God says, start believing for this, they think that means go out and get it. No, he said, start believing for it. Okay. There's a difference. Yes, you can go out and get it. But when you go out and get it, it's going to be on your terms. Why not believe and get it on God's terms, which will be a whole lot easier for you? God's term, maybe he's waiting for someone to just give it to you. He may need time to work on someone else's obedience. And you think because God said start believing, that means I should have it now. He didn't say that. He just said, start believing, start calling it in. And he didn't even say how long. See, that's it. He didn't say, I want you to start believing for this, and then after 5 years, you'll have it. He just said, start believing for it. What if it takes 15 years? Then it takes 15 years. You want to wait 15 years and have it, or 15 years and not have it? You know, whatever it is, but we have to believe it. Let's see where he wants us to go from here. We talked about this. We talked about people of sinning. We already read that. Okay. When we talk about being the same, look at Romans 6. Because God wanted us to be the same as we were before Adam sinned. Beginning at verse 19 in Romans 6, I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. Paul said, I'm speaking in familiar human terms because of your natural limitations. For as you yielded your bodily members and faculties as servants to impurity and ever-increasing lawlessness, so now yield your bodily members and faculties once for all as servants to righteousness, right being and doing, which leads to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But then what benefit return did you get from the things of which you are now ashamed? None. For the end of those things is death. But now, since you have been set free from sin and have become the slaves of God, you have a present reward in holiness and in its end, eternal life, which is what God wanted. See, Jesus Christ made us righteous and holy again. And then he did some things. In Luke 10:19, he gave us some things. He gave us power. Specific power to tread on snakes and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. All of it. The Amplified Bible says he gave us physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy possesses. So then, how many of you believe that's true? Then, since that's true, why do we blame the devil for causing us to do things? We have to think about that. I mean, if you have power, physical and mental strength and ability over all the power I possess, how can I talk you into anything? How can I do it? How can I play a mind game with you? I can't. So why do we sin? We want to. That's all. We look at it and we say, okay, righteousness, you wait right here. I'm right, 1 John 1:9. I'm going to come right back to you in a little bit. And we go over here and do what we want to do. He said, well, hey, what's the problem? He said, you've got 1 John 1:9. Here's the problem. 1 John 1:9 is here. We leave it there. We walk over, walk outside his will, and do what we want to do. Find the scripture that says, I'll survive this to get back to that. There is none. And what happens is we get caught out there. And too many of us get taken out before we can get back. And we say, well, the devil got another one. No, he didn't. Our stupidity took us out. The devil can't. How can you have physical and mental strength and ability over all the power someone has and lose to them in a physical confrontation? You can't. So what do? We throw in the towel. Because we just want to. We forget that Father has not changed. Jesus has not changed. The Holy Ghost has not changed. So no matter what, I'm still righteous. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean you have to turn it into an action. But you say, well, it just stays in my head. Well, the Bible says, cast it down. Bible says, you bring your thoughts captive to your obedience. You bring your thought captive to your knowledge of Christ. That's what it says. So what's your knowledge of Christ? So if you find yourself really wavering, you need to get some more knowledge. Because whatever knowledge you have, you can't bring your thoughts captive to knowledge you don't have. So you have to just get more knowledge. Vis-a-vis, just like we said before, how do you get rid of a shadow? More light. That's all. Just more light. I think I'm going I'll unhook after this. In Matthew 16, verses 16 to 18, and most of us know the account, when Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Then he got specific, said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, that's right. And flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father did, that's in heaven. And he said, now I'm saying to you that you're Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What Jesus was saying was, on this revelation that God gave you, that I am the Christ, I am the Son of the living God, I'm building my church on that principle, on that truth. And because it's founded on that truth, gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That hasn't changed. The early church understood that, and they held their ground no matter what. And God always came through, no matter what. And you go through the scriptures and you look at all the different things that Paul encountered, that he went through, didn't stop him. But then if you just study out his life, you'll see one of the first things God said concerning him. I'll show him things that he must suffer. I'll show him the things that he's going to have to go through for my namesake. Paul learned. Paul believed. So nothing shook him. Nothing. I mean, you're going around through the woods and you get bitten by a snake, you're going to run in and call 911. And Paul would, I mean, this thing just hung on to his hand and he shook it off. That's all. Didn't cry for help, didn't say anything. And that fascinated me. And I would say, Lord, how come, why? He said he knew who he was. He knew what I said, and he knew that hadn't happened yet. I just told him, you must stand before Caesar in Rome. Well, he wasn't in Rome. So he knew, if God said I got to be in Rome, I don't care what he has to do, I'm getting to Rome. So he wasn't thrown by the shipwreck. He wasn't thrown by it at all. Why? He wasn't in Rome. What if he was in Rome? Don't know. Maybe he would have thought differently. But he wasn't. And he knew that's where God told him to go. And he understood that God doesn't change his mind. God said, you know what? Forget that. I'm done with you, Paul. Shipwreck, take him out. Because that's what we think. We think God gets tired and he says, let's get rid of him. Let me put some more people there. No, he didn't create a new species of being. What he did is he restored the original species through Christ Jesus. See, that Earth went through a series. When Adam was born, he was a new creature. Well, never before on this planet. When Adam sinned, he became a new creature. Never. You say, well, are you talking about the same person? No, he wasn't. Now he was a sinner. There had never been a sinner on this planet as a human. So God had to get us back. So now we become born again. Now we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. That's the way we were supposed to be from the beginning. See, so God, even though this is the way it was, and this is the way it became because of sin, God put a plan in place to get us back to the way it was. Why? Because he's the same. And he wants us the same. Past, present, future. So he sent Jesus so that we can be the same. Same as what? Same as him. And we have to understand that as God is, so are we. So are we in this earth. We don't have to wait for heaven. So are we right now, right here on this planet. So God is. God was, and God will always be. See, last 2 points for today. I really want you to remember this. We're going to go through stuff, but we don't have to give in to it. See, Jesus had to face death, but he didn't succumb to death. Even though he had to face it, he had to go through it, he didn't succumb to it. In other words, he didn't stay dead. Okay. Because how do you prove? I mean, what's the most effective way to prove someone has no power over you? So if he wanted to prove death had no power, he had to let death grip him. He had to let death do what death does so he can demonstrate, nah, 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 nah. You know, that's what it is. All right? So he had to die. He had to go to hell. The Bible says he went to hell and turned out the place. He took captivity captive. He made a show of them openly. I mean, can you imagine someone coming to your house and just disrespecting you in front of everybody in your house? In your house. Leading all the people in your house out with them. I can't imagine that. I was like, I ain't that saved. not going to come in my house. But he made a show of them openly in hell. In the midst of it. Why? Because he didn't succumb to it. So we, in like manner, and why do I say in like manner? Because Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. So whatever he had to do, whatever he went through, we're going to go through. And we can go through it the same way. Because he said, as the Father sent him. The Father sent him fully equipped to go through it. He's sending us the same way. We're fully equipped to go through it. Everything he did, we have the same recreative power. Because if we're made in his image and likeness, we have made from the same DNA. So whatever one can do, the other can do. The problem is we don't believe it. We look at things and we say, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You can. You just have to believe that you can and then act like you believe it. Well, what if I do and it doesn't work? What if it does? What if it does? Well, what if it doesn't work the first time? Well, everybody doesn't get knocked out by one punch. I mean, if you watch any fights, sometimes they're first round knockouts, sometimes there's a 15 round decision. Who cares? You win. Stop looking for the one punch knockout. It very rarely happens. I mean, it does. But if you stay in, we just have to stay in the fight. That's all. We win. We have to understand, because Jesus still is, we're still children of God. Yes. Nothing can take that away. We're still redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Yes. Nothing can take that away. We're still saved by grace. We're still redeemed. We're still justified. We still have these things available to us just because God hasn't changed. Just because Jesus Christ is the same, we're still redeemed from the curse. Abraham's blessings are still ours. We're still blessed coming in and blessed going out. We're still an heir to all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. We're still getting all our needs met. We're still healed. I mean, all those things are still there. We just have to believe it. Questions or comments?
Wow.
Nothing has changed as far as our Father is concerned. Nothing. He doesn't even see it as a new year. He sees eternal. I mean, can you imagine? They had to put numbers to the years because man doesn't know. How do you number eternity? How do you do that in days and years? So man had to come up with a system. God doesn't have that system. God just says, it's today, it's tomorrow. It's today, it's tomorrow. We make all these different plans. And that amazes me. You know, we make plans. We make plans for what we're going to do next New Year's Eve. Haven't seen any document that said you're going to be walking on this planet next year, this time. But we make plans. And we actually believe we're going to be here because this is what we want to do. But what about what God said? Well, that's hard to believe. Really? You believe you, why can't you believe him? Any questions or comments?